Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
And it's time for our Monday Sports Roundup. Today, we are going to focus on the Boston Celtics' suspension of head coach Ime Udoka for the 2022-2023 season. And if you're unclear on the details, don't worry, so is everybody else. So quickly, a brief timeline. On Wednesday of last week, ESPN reported that Udoka would be facing, quote, possible disciplinary action, unquote, for, quote, unspecified violation of organizational guidelines, end quote. And that's based on leaked information. That same night, the Twitter world learned from The Athletic that Udoka had, quote, an improper, intimate, and consensual relationship with a female member of the team staff, end quote. Reports have since suggested the woman reported some part of her interactions with Udoka were unwelcome. We do not know more currently. Then on Friday, Celtics majority owner Wick Grousbeck and president of basketball operations Brad Stevens gave a press conference where they offered little information.
As you know, Ime Udoka has been suspended for the upcoming season for breaking team rules. For privacy reasons, I won't be able to offer many additional facts or circumstances around what occurred and why the suspension is in place.
Now, underlying the evolving news and sometimes lack of news has been a painful conversation about this crisis in sports, about social media response, about the flow of information and privacy, and about it versus so many others, including recent reporting that Brett Favre, who's a former Green Bay Packer and a Hall of Famer in football, worked with former governor of Mississippi Phil Bryant to divert welfare funds for a volleyball stadium. So in the middle of all of this, we wanted to ask, what is the conversation we should be having? We invited Howard Bryant, author, local author and ESPN writer, also sports correspondent for NPR's Weekend Edition, to join us as we often do. Howard, welcome back.
Hello, Tiziana. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Howard. This is so complicated. Did we hit all the key notes there? I mean, we don't want to take 20 years at the beginning before we get to you. Any key note you think I'm missing?
No, not at all. And I certainly think that it's hard. I mean, the two stories are very, very different, but they're also both happening at the same time. I think that one of the big differences is in terms of the Celtics as an issue, there are so many threads that go from it because we don't have enough information. I think in the Brett Favre story, there's plenty of information. There's the ability to cover that story is much, much cleaner than the Celtics issue. And so I think that they are placed in the same category because of all of the other things that we talk about in the country, about whether or not we're having, you know, fair treatment of it. Are we treating black athletes or black stories different than we're talking about someone like Brett Favre? There are so many different considerations here. Obviously, one is an evolving situation with an active team. The Boston Celtics are two games away from winning the championship. They're supposed to, you know, media day is today. They're starting training camp, and they're about to try to go defend their Eastern Conference title, whereas Brett Favre is a retired player. But in terms of importance, what Brett Favre has done or is accused of doing is far more important in a lot of ways than what is happening with the Celtics. So I understand it's also, you know, the point that you brought up earlier about social media. What are the reliable sources? What is the clamor? You say you want freedom. You say you want everyone to have a voice, but there's an overload taking place here where you really do have to be very, very careful and circumspect, both as a media member and also as a reader in terms of where you're getting your information, what do you trust, and can you follow this in some sort of legitimate way that makes things less complicated instead of more?
So, Howard, I want to pick up on a couple threads there. First is sort of people's speculation in the void, especially in the silence from the Boston Celtics. So here's Brad Stevens talking about Twitter speculation that ran rampant in that silence. And this was him last Friday at a press conference.
You know, nobody can control Twitter speculation and rampant bull. But I do think that we as an organization have a responsibility to make sure we're there to support them now, because a lot of people were dragged unfairly into that.
And of course, that was after lots of social media activity speculating on using the names and pictures of women in the Celtics organization who, of course, were not a part of the story. Privacy, of course, is necessary, and yet we had a void. Are we in this moment in part because the Celtics didn't handle it right, Howard?
Yeah, I thought the Celtics handled this very, very poorly. And I think that the difference between now and when we were all coming up in this business is speed. Speed, what do they say in sports? Speed kills? Well, it kills you because as competitive journalists, everyone's trying to be first. But of course, you want to be, what is the purpose of being first if you're wrong, if you're incorrect? But at the same time, if you're the Celtics, you have a responsibility to protect your employees. And they waited almost a full day. And, you know, before they actually came out and said what they, you know, what, you know, they, before they came out with their announcements and the press conferences and everything else. And so in between that, they just let the situation sit and they didn't do anything. And, you know, depending on where this information came from, you know, what leaks, you know, came out, whether, you know, to whom the information first came out, that we even knew that a suspension, whether lengthy or short, was coming, they had a responsibility to get in front of that for their female employees and even for Udoka and as well. And so as much as you may say, well, there's nothing you can do about it because it is social media and social media sort of beats, you know, to its own drum because you don't even know. Everybody can be an anonymous source or they can be a media source or a news source. When you're on Twitter, it's just this flow, this crazy sort of gushing of information or misinformation. But as an organization, I don't think they handled this very well.
So we are on our Monday Sports Roundup. We chose to focus it today on the suspension of Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka. We're speaking with Howard Bryant, who we've spoken with several times before. Among other things, he's a sports correspondent for NPR's Weekend Edition and a title writer for ESPN. So Howard, a little bit ago, we talked a little bit about Brett Favre versus Ime Udoka. I'm thinking of the article, the column that the Boston Globe's Janae Osterholt wrote over the last few days, also bringing up that comparison. We talked about the question of whether race figures into the treatment that we're seeing. Is Ime Udoka receiving a different kind of treatment, a different kind of attention, or a different kind of scandal, do you believe, because he's a black man?
Well, the two stories are so different. And I always take the position, Tizian, I really say this all the time. Race, class, and gender must be a factor in all of your reporting. It doesn't mean it's a factor in all of the stories that you're working on, but it does mean that if you want to get a clear picture, these three ideas, these three concepts are the three third rails of American society, race, class, gender, because somewhere along the line, they're the fault lines. However, the stories are so different that it just is an example of how fractured we are. And it's an example of just how much distrust we have in the ability of media to cover fairly and in the ability of people to cover fairly. And do we have these sort of almost police-like implicit biases when depending on who the subject is and the salaciousness of the details, et cetera, et cetera. I do think that the Favre story, however, requires a fair amount of it requires so much more detail, and it requires so much more. You really should pay more attention to it because you can create a paper trail. The Celtics story is an evolving, developing story right now, where the information is certainly not anywhere near as voluminous as you have if you wanted to do some real reporting on Brett Favre. Now, the implication, obviously, is that you're not reporting the Brett Favre story out of protection for Brett Favre. And if that is the case, then yes, there's a clear case of bias right there where you're trying to protect one of the great NFL stars who's clearly involved in something very, very serious against not having enough information and sort of running with the speculation on the Celtics story. So they're two very, very, very different stories. But I do feel like if there is one major difference for the journalists out there, I'm not talking about the public, but for the journalists out there is a clear story on Brett Favre that is, I'm not going to say it's easy to get, but it's more important, it's more available, there's more paper trail, and it's getting less attention.
So one of the things I'm struggling with, Howard, I think it's safe to say that somebody was a victim in this situation with Ime Udoka. And there's so much we don't know. You and I have hit that several times already in this conversation.
Well, the one thing we do know, Tiziana, which I think is really important, is that there we have to be so clear with our language. We speak in pronouns all the time. We talk about things and we're very, very vague about it. But the one thing about this story that you do have to pay very close attention to is in the language, this idea of consent, consensual versus non-consensual, power versus the work employee dynamic. And these things really have to be parsed, because the question that I've been really working with is that if you're, as we get more information, if you are looking at Ime Udoka as a, they talk about the NBA, it really is as much of a billion-dollar business as it is. It's really treated like a high school in a lot of ways. You've got the owner, you've got the GM, and you've got the coach. They essentially run all of the basketball operations. So what I've been wrestling with on this part of the story is that given that power dynamic within that building, I'm not sure there is such thing as consent on this, because one element controls everybody's money. And so it's going to be a really interesting conversation as time goes on and as more details come out about this idea of consent. Can you really have a consensual relationship with a superior? And these things are going to be coming out as the weeks and months go on. And these are the questions that you really have to ask, because we're using the language as if we can assume that these things are concrete. And they're really not. They're very, very fluid.
So Howard, that didn't make me feel better, by the way, but I appreciate it, because part of the challenge is not wanting more information to come out if someone's victimized and yet needing more information to come out to make sense of this.
Because if you don't, then you run into two issues. And issue number one is, do you want, we need accuracy. That's what we need more than anything else. And there are going to be pieces of this story that are none of our business. I mean, that is going to be one of the first things, is that how much of this is your business and how much of it is not your business. However, we also are talking about an industry that people are paying a lot of attention to.
All right. That is Howard Bryant, who bent my brain exactly as I was hoping and thought you would. Howard Bryant is an ESPN writer, sports correspondent for NPR's Weekend Edition, and his book, Ricky, The Life and Legend of an American Original, is available now. Howard, thanks for joining us for Sports Roundup today.
No, it's my pleasure as always.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for starting your week with us. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.